Miss Marian Anderson will sing our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, accompanied by the United States Marine Band.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I am someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm talking
about. So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where Twitter meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. You just heard Marian Anderson sing the national anthem at the inauguration of JFK in 1961. She was the first Black woman to perform at a presidential inauguration. That is, I think this is technically our last show of Black History Month, but since Black History Month is very short, we are going to do two more clips on March 1st and 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Great. We're giving it the full days that it deserves.
Amanda, I texted like on Slack. I said that to you. I was like, oh my God, Monday is March 1st.
I know. It's so weird. It's really disorienting. February is ridiculous.
We're about to come up on the anniversaries of like the last time people left their houses. So, like some people's their anniversary is going to be like March 8th.
Right.
Some people it's going to be the 10th, 12th. You'll know who is really fucking around when it's like March 20th.
Why does the 8th stick in my head so much? Did something big happen then? We didn't leave the office till like the 11th or 13th.
The 8th was the day that they canceled. I think it was the day that they canceled like South by Southwest.
Yes, that was the big cancellation
Coachella
day.
I remember because I had a panic attack. We were actually in Colorado as I am now.
Oh my God, really?
Yes, we were. We were on vacation and I woke up and I saw these cancellations and I had a straight up panic attack. I was like, our wedding is canceled.
Right, yeah.
And I was right. And then everyone's like, no, it's not. And then like 2 days later, it was.
I was at this time last year, I was on the beach for my birthday. I was in Mexico. And I remember like looking at the news and stuff and being like, I hope I can get back into the States because we had like just gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got back. And then like 2 days later, everything was like,
oh, man.
I remember like on the flight home, heavily sanitizing everything. No mask.
Oh, yes.
Like no refusing mask to touch anything.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing people like flying around then.
Yeah.
Weird times. I remember being in Vermont at a hibachi restaurant getting shrimp flung into my mouth. I'm glad I had that experience
hygienic,
so close to when it probably ended permanently.
I think it could happen in the future. Like,
it's real fun.
That's
true. It's no hands involved.
It goes straight from the hot thing to your mouth. I actually think it might
perfect
be the most sanitary way to eat.
Every restaurant becomes a hibachi restaurant.
And like that's how you need
you watch everything being made so you feel good about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have like the guy feeding every diner. Like by.
It's like a meatball place
and you
spaghetti.
You get really good at it.
This sounds so entertaining, I think, because none of us have done anything entertaining in a very long time.
No.
But wanted to start the show with some good news. COVID cases are really going down, it looks like. They've decreased nationwide about 25% since last week. And now 13% of the population is vaccinated. We're on a potentially good path if people keep getting vaccinated. Brian and I on Monday talked about vaccine reluctance, and we got so many messages from you guys. And it was really interesting to hear, because what Brian and I were talking about was, and Sam and I have talked about this, is like a lot of people don't have good reasons. They're just like, I don't know, I don't trust it, or I've come this far, or what's the point? So we got a lot of listeners that sent in like some reasons that you can easily talk people out of, but it does sound like it's a lot of people that are just like, meh, they don't have valid reasons.
I came across my first vaccine reluctant person that I am close with, actually.
Okay. Somebody specifically told us that it was like most of our friends who are like Biden liberal millennial Biden voters are just not into the vaccine.
What?
I know. Exactly.
I mean, I know two people who are skeptical whatsoever. And like that's it.
skeptical as in like they're not sure they're going to get it, or they're like, I'll get it, but okay,
no, they're not sure they're going to get it. But everyone else I know is like on that fucking keyboard trying to get an appointment. So I think that's, that's like
something else I've been thinking about. And this might, this like, I think this says a lot about just like how I think about life is like, first of all, Fauci has taken it. All these people have taken it. And then second of all, you are not, I am not more important than this pandemic ending, in my view. Like, I am all part of the puzzle. And like, if in 5 years I get like a weird mole, which is not going to happen, but these are the things that people are saying, it's fine. I don't care. Not one person is more important than this pandemic ending.
I mean, another thing that I feel like has been said before, it's like when people are like, I'm going to do my research. It's like, what research are you going to do that's better than the like the lab, like than the, the like an empirical study from people who study vaccines and virology? Like, what research are you going to do? You probably don't even understand this fucking scientific paper. Like, you're not a scientist.
But Sam, do you think some of it comes from like women are, it's sort of, we talk a lot about how obviously people of color have been mistreated by the medical system in really gruesome and grisly ways. Women in general, in a different sense, have often been ignored and undermined by their doctors. This is a thing we know. Right. So do you think, Sammy, that like, because I know you guys talk about this on DST, I'm sure. I feel like, I wonder if it's like an effect of that sort of extreme, like, well, our doctors won't treat us. And now everybody wants to like get off of the pill and eat natural. And like, those are all personal decisions. But I wonder if it's like an extension of that, where it's like, people think that they are actually the virtuous one. Maybe like, I'm going to do my research and not trust mainstream medicine. But like, there's a reason mainstream medicine exists. Like, I started watching The Nick last night, and it was just making me so angry that nobody, that like 40% of people don't want to take the vaccine.
Oh my.
Yeah. Or like, they would just like stick their hands into people.
Right.
And watching them, and they're like, oh my God.
Honestly, like, okay, I would say, everyone I know, I have a lot of friends who, I mean, most of my friends who are eligible because they either have some sort of condition, obviously, or they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. So the pregnant ones, a few of them have asked their doctors and they've said, take it. Like, it's better for you to take it because of the risks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I have one friend who's like in that phase as well. And she's like, I'm not sure. My doctor said, don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm like, okay, but it's interesting. I can go more in depth on this offline.
Yeah, even more. I mean, even within the medical community, there are medical professionals who don't feel a need to get vaccinated. It seems like a thankless process, but like, I'm sure our listeners have noticed, literally the SUP has been a vaccine stan account.
I will take, one of my friends is like, she's like, you have to show yourself getting vaccine. You are clearly becoming like a vaccine propaganda account. I'm like, are we? Like, do I get to take
it? Propaganda is exactly the wrong word.
I know. She's one who's like super, she thinks that anyone who doesn't take it is like a murderer. Like, so she's saying it.
I feel a personal responsibility to be doing that. Like,
okay, what do you feel about the controversies around like skipping the line? Because as I told you, I was able to get through on the system. Like, I was about to have an appointment, but then it was like, do you promise you are eligible? And I was like, no. And I gave up like the option to have the appointment. Do you like feel like now I'm thinking like, I'm going to start calling CVS's, try to get on a standby list. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get it. Do you think that is like, do you think the backlash about like cutting the line, quote unquote, is worse than getting it?
Okay. I mean, it's almost because it's like, it's such a weird ethical question. Cause there's like, is it less ethical to skip the line than to not get the vaccine during a pandemic? I think it's less ethical to skip the line, but because you're cutting in front of people. But I think if you're not getting vaccinated, you're going to spread the disease.
Right. Right. So that's what I'm grappling.
It does seem that like finally the amounts are going up of people getting vaccinated.
I know someone who got it through their acupuncturist, and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, they just like had them. And I was like, okay, cool. And he was just like this like guy. I was like,
just a guy. I know, I fantasize about that. I'm like always walking around, like maybe today's the day. Somebody pokes me.
We have them here.
Anytime I'm in a pharmacy, I ask. I'm like, do you
really?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, why not? Like,
right, totally.
I mean, at one point they're gonna think I'm fucking crazy, but like, I don't care. like it could be worse. I mean, I have a friend who got her, she got her vaccine in LA. She has like a precondition. She said that there were like 50 needles going to waste because like missed appointments.
Well, so the thing is, my dad went with my mom to get her vaccine because he couldn't get an appointment, but she did. And they were basically just like, hang out, we'll have extra.
Hang
and so,
out. That's what I'm trying
and
to do.
So
hang
I'm
out.
Like, I'm like, maybe people we should just go and hang out. Like, be like, hey, I'm just gonna chill here and read a book. If you have an extra one, just jab me.
That's literally why I like ask everywhere I go. I'm like, do you ever have extras? Like,
I mean, eventually they're probably gonna be like, I mean, So what do you do if like, so there's no issue with if you just get happen upon your first dose, like. Do then you have to go back to that place to get your second, or you can get the second wherever you want as long as it's the same brand?
I think you can. I think you can get it wherever you want. Yeah. I do think it has to be the same brand. You just need the card,
right?
And
so there's no reason not to accept a vaccine you're offered unexpectedly.
No,
amazing there, news.
There is literally no reason not to offer to get a vaccine because the whole point is for everybody to get vaccinated. So you need to get vaccinated. If that's just going to go in the trash, it makes no sense.
I'm hoping that when, you know, Johnson & Johnson seems like it's going to be coming out real soon. Maybe once that's more like around and available, I think people who are just like, oh, and like eventually the doctors would be like, you'll go in for an appointment. Like, oh, I broke my toe. And like, hey, you're here. Do you want the COVID vaccine? And it's just the one.
Yes.
And it's like, I guess why not? Because just the one. Because like versus like, I think people who are like ambivalent about it or indifferent about it are not going to do it twice. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm like, maybe I should get the one that's like, I don't give me whichever one. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll get whatever.
But I was like, give me the one that's the two person one, the two time one, because I know that I will come back.
Somebody told us that a lot of their friends are waiting for the Johnson & Johnson one. And I didn't really know why that was other than maybe that. And another person told us that her company is offering like incentives, like $50 a dose. And yeah, that's only $100, but that is a lot for a lot of people. And like you said, Brian, I think a lot of people are just ambivalent. They don't have a good reason not to want it. So if you give them $100, that's enough to convince them. They're like, all right. Like, I really think that would matter because everyone I've talked to, like there are some people that have been misled and have the wrong ideas about science, but there are a lot of people that just, you give them $100 and they'd be like, all right.
I just think it's one of those things that they're not even thinking that deeply about.
Exactly.
Most people don't read about it that intensely. Most people are just sort of like, I'll do whatever like my friend did. Like that. It's just, that's how I think a lot of people operate.
It's just crazy. Can you imagine like a year ago, mid-March being like, oh, also a year from now, 500,000 people will be dead. You'll still be stuck at home. And a lot of people are going to be like meh about the vaccine. I would be like, no way. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'll be recording from a closet
for the 365th day.
Yeah. I mean,
we have been in a room doing a podcast in 1 year.
And we have a new studio for when we eventually do.
Oh, that's so exciting. The old one was so hot. I don't miss that.
I don't know. I don't think this one will be. I mean, I don't know. I've never
it
been.
It may not be much cooler.
That's
all about. It's all about, you know, the sound.
I mean, yeah, there's lots of bodies in there.
Oh, man. It was really hot.
That's fire.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into today's news. On Tuesday, Congress held its first hearing on security failures during the Capitol attack. If you didn't catch the hearing, all you missed was a lot of deflection. Sammy, was this the day your power was out? Did you miss this? Were you able to watch this?
I did miss it. I was looking at Twitter the whole time.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was very upset.
Yeah, I imagine. I was thinking of you. So, quick summary. Officials from the FBI and Capitol Police, as well as the DC police, basically traded accusations about who was responsible for ensuring intelligence about a potential violent attack was acted on prior to January 6th. Lawmakers questioned the U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Zund and the former Sergeants of Arms for the House and Senate, in addition to the head of the DC police. I believe all of those people have now resigned, except for the head of DC police.
Yeah.
So the biggest revelation, in my view, I think for most people, was that an FBI memo warning of potential violence was sent to the Capitol and DC police prior to the attack, about not even 24 hours before, but they didn't see it. It sounds like it was sent to this specific FBI memo has been referred to as the Norfolk memo. because we might talk about a couple memos here. It sounds like it was sent to an email that no one's checks and was posted online with like just general memos, like with the portal. Like, it's like when your annoying coworker is like, it's in the drive. It's like, but can you just send it to me? It's like, I don't want to look at the drive. So to be clear,
like a bulletin.
It's a bulletin. Nobody looks at bulletin. They send bulletins about everything, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you're in law enforcement, you should probably be looking at all of the bulletins anyway. Maybe that's right. The idea. But someone for some reason. Be.
Someone, at least one person.
Exactly.
Right. Also, it's not like this wasn't in the mainstream news as a possibility. Like,
they were talking about it publicly. Like,
yeah.
Is that intelligence when it's just happening out in the open? Like, I could be an intelligence official.
I could have told you that was a thing to be concerned about. Everyone knew it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Also, AOC said it in her lives, not that Republicans care what AOC said, but she did say in her lives that like it was something that people were talking about.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And some of the Congress people were even planning it. So
they wore sneakers. Some wore sneakers.
Yeah.
They were like, I'm wearing sneakers. Like one congresswoman was like, I'm wearing sneakers that day in case I have to run. It's like, why would you think that unless something was like going on?
I will never forget. I think I've already said this a couple times on the podcast, but I think about it all the time. When we had Mikey Sherrill from New Jersey and we asked her like in November, like she's a first term congresswoman. So I just asked her like, what's the most memorable part of your first term been? And she just sort of like she paused and was like, I don't think it's happened yet. And 2 months later, this crazy thing happened.
That's
and that she also suggested that she foresaw because there were people giving tours in the Capitol. So this memo, the head of the Capitol Police who resigned, he says he didn't know about this until a couple days ago. To be clear, not a couple days before the attack, a few days ago this month. The memo explicitly notes online chatter about breaking the glass doors of Congress to get our president or die. It has everything in there that sounds really scary. The reaction to this from the officers that said that they didn't see it is that like this definitely seems like the one email that probably should have been a meeting overall.
Or pick up the goddamn phone.
Exactly. Oh, I'm,
like you'd be like, you have their phone number. Just do it. Like, I'm sorry. No one wants to talk on the phone anymore. Just you have to make a phone call.
Can you imagine if that's what happened? Is like, no, so somebody didn't want to make the phone call.
Yeah. It's like, can I text?
I feel like if they had maybe put like Benghazi in the memo,
yeah,
someone
right.
might have paid attention.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Election fraud alert.
Yeah, like
Antifa like, or Black Lives Matter protests. Right, like,
what else? So how many other memos are they missing is my question. If you really miss this one just by accident. What else are you missing?
The Capitol Police, oh my God, exactly. The Capitol Police had also produced its own memo days before the attack, warning that Trump supporters had ambitions of attacking lawmakers. The moral of the story seems to be that everyone's blaming each other for not understanding that the intelligence was accurate and serious. The intelligence was just never acted on. And the sense seems to be that this was what they call raw information, raw data from the FBI, which means it hasn't necessarily been confirmed or vetted. They don't know if it's a coordinated attack. It's just chatter from individuals, which, you know, literally like Gen Z teens were tweeting during BLM that they were going to be protesting in their suburban towns and like armed guards showed up. So I'm not super convinced by that. But
also like you can't, even if it's just chatter, you can't bother to like more adequately secure the Capitol with all of the lawmakers in it and the vice president. And the
vice president elect. Like, how else do people plan an attack? They talk. Right. That's chatter.
Right. Right. Like, how specific does it need to be? How much more concrete can it be than, like, we are going to do this?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and like, who, like, it's someone's at fault. Five people died. Five fucking people died. That, like, that is just unacceptable, you know? And if I think that had it been a, you know, a different group, you know, they would have been taking it much more seriously. If it was Black Lives Matter, probably taking it much more seriously. They would have been as
Remember
prepared
the
as they
gas?
Were for in June. And
the
yeah,
tear gas with the Bible photo was like to get rid of Black Lives Matter protesters.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So what do we think of these excuses and deflections? I mean, I don't know. I read it and just got kind of conspiratorial because it's like, really? All these memos were sent and nobody did anything and the FBI didn't send it till the night before. I mean, people involved just did not take it seriously because it was white people or because they also maybe felt that the president at that time deserved to have another term. But
yeah,
I mean, it's hard to put together without like full visibility into these organizations because like, who is the person, because ultimately it just comes down to like, who writes the memo? Who shares the memo?
Communications failure. Yeah. Like something fell through the cracks. But
did it fall through, or did someone at some point slow it down or be like, oh, we're just like, you know, like kind of, you know,
did someone gut the Pentagon before after they lost the election? Did they put in their own people in the last month and a half leading up to this event? It's like, you know,
well, that's how like the Pentagon National Guard stuff kind of got held up. But why did what happened with the FBI and the Capitol Police is kind of its own question.
Yes, exactly. Well, but,
and Bill Barr quits earlier instead of just finishing out the term. You know what I mean? Like,
what a hero.
What were the conversations like internally in these places, knowing that this chatter is happening? Trump was sending tweets about this rally or their organizers for weeks.
I'm sure the chatter was like, or not the chatter amongst the insurrectionists, but with Trump, I'm sure it was just like, we'll take care of it on January 6th. So-and-so, Ali Alexander is taking care of it. Mm-hmm. Paul Biggs and Gosar, they're taking care. I'm sure it was just him being like, well, they're going to, if Pence doesn't, because he was exerting pressure on Pence, I'm sure there were other people. If Pence doesn't agree, like, they know what to do. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't even need to say it. Well, like, it's already been said.
They need to find out who these organizers were in contact with of this, like this event, and who those people were in contact with. Because
Roger Stone's like guards were the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers.
There were people on the terrorist list in D.C. Yeah. Why were they just allowed to be around and hang out?
It also just came out that Marjorie Taylor Greene's like close friend was one of the insurrectionists. So
So it's basically everything we're seeing right now is highlighting why they need to be having these hearings. There's so many questions, and we got to see some like footage and, you know, talk about it during the impeachment. But I think it's going to be a year, years.
For sure. More. I'm going to be like 55 years old, like still fucking talking about the details of how Marjorie Taylor Greene went for a meeting at the White House on December 6th and like what was discussed there. Like, I'm still going to be fucking talking about that. Like, this is never, it's going to take so much to piece it all together because, I mean, I hope someone's working on it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I hear there's a little bit of a dust up with the commission because Nancy Pelosi, I think, wants it to be like 6 Democrats and 4 Republicans. And they're saying, no, it has to be equal or else it has no legitimacy.
That I see that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're
in the majority.
But there's like, which 5 Republicans? There aren't even 5 you can like trust now.
10 voted for impeachment. So just pick out of those people.
That's true.
That's not how this works anyways, isn't it? It's not how it works.
No, I don't think so.
And so like, it's just the way it is.
It is. You're right. You're right. That's the truth. And that's really the sad truth is that that is just the way it is. And no one's going to do anything because our lawmakers who are supposed to represent us are just a little bit like they have other calculations and the calculations are not putting transparency at the top of the priorities list amongst several other things that are not at the top of the priorities list.
When the Republicans are in power or in the Senate or the House, every single thing that they lead, they are the majority of the committee. So I don't know why this is like even a thing, you know,
there are 2 sets of rules.
Well, because there's 2 sets of rules. Yeah,
of course. Right. And it doesn't matter if there are 2 sets of rules. And if we try to play by their rules, we get punished. And I'm very, very sick of it.
Might as well just play by
maybe,
them.
I wonder how much we get punished or how much we like punish ourselves.
Well, we definitely, that's a good point. We get punished by our own party because our party is so big and there are so many factions and you can completely alienate one by doing something for another.
And when you have any set of standards, you have to hold, you have measured against that. Like, whereas the Republicans have no standard, there's no measurement for anything.
Did you see Stephen Miller on Fox News last night? Miller on Fox News last night said that, I couldn't even post it, but he said
Biden's immigration policies are inhumane.
And cruel to children.
What? You guys couldn't see them. I literally dropped my mouth.
That's one of those things that I see the headline and I scroll right past because I don't want to like encourage.
I saw him trending.
Because
like,
Stephen Miller wants to be, that's how he wants to stay relevant.
It's a troll. It's trolling the libs. He said that to troll the libs. He doesn't actually, like, it doesn't matter. That's the only goal.
Yeah, he was definitely on Twitter this morning, like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
He's just going to start his own podcast, like, fucking, and like Ben trying Shapiro. To be like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
I bet you that's what he does.
I agree with that.
Just, and just
trolls people.
Yeah. Again, the best thing we can all do is to not click on stories about these people, because if that's like what I've started doing, because it's like, if CNN thinks that like Stephen Miller's trollish comment gets clicks, then they're going to keep writing about his trollish comment. And we're all going to have to talk about them.
This is how we got Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was feeling that same way with Marjorie Taylor Greene, like during the whole thing. I was like,
I try to also, I try to give her less oxygen, but sometimes it just gets to like a fever pitch where you can't. And well, like, we're about to talk about one of them.
Yeah, we're about to talk about her. So.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if there's an action item to confront her bullshit, then it's worth sharing. But a lot of times it's not. And we do like the other, like the far right, they love when we get upset. And they love, like, every time we denounce their heroes, they idolize them more. So we do have to be super careful. But this is a situation where we can't ignore what she's doing. So we talked about the Equality Act a bit on Monday, and there's been a little bit of action on that. It will be up for a vote in the House tomorrow. Again, it will amend existing federal civil rights laws to extend protections to LGBTQ Americans. It's pretty certain to pass the House. We know Dems have that, but needs a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she did an excellent job of reminding us of the extremist and homophobic arguments against the Equality Act, because on Monday, me and Briar were like, why don't people like it? It's really confusing. I forgot about the women's sports nonsense.
Oh my God. I fucking hate any discussion of sports. Like, why is the government why does the government get any, but all, but okay, forget that. I'm like the government,
that was my thought too. What the fuck?
Okay, especially when it comes to like high school sports, because like, can we just acknowledge that high school sports don't matter? They're fake. They're for fun. They're okay, not. And if you, and if you are,
we're gonna
stuck,
get an angry, and if message, you have, about that.
And if, no, I'm sorry. And if you have to worry that having a trans woman on your team is going to prevent you from succeeding at the sport, you're not going to be good enough at that sport anyway, that you should probably just cut your losses now and do something else.
And here's the thing. No, if you are like, this is like totally unrelated to any of this, but if you are like an amazing athlete at a specific sport and you're playing in high school, typically you don't play on the high school team. You play on a like select elevated team, like, where you're not even playing team. With like in a school, in a locker room.
Right. That's what kills me about it. It's like, you're literally telling me that this is a problem because of fake sport, like because of fun, like recreational sports. Like, who cares? Who gives a shit?
Also, it is so delusional. It is so like, like horrifyingly stupid to think that a person is going to pretend to be like transition their gender to play a fucking sport an hour once a week.
Wait, it's like the women who dress up as grannies to get the vaccine. People are desperate, Brian.
It's like, it's like they've seen the movie Joanna Man too many times, and they think it's real life.
Right. Like, there's a big difference between transitioning your gender and dressing in drag. Nobody that dresses in drag and shows up to track tryouts is gonna, also, you wear shorts in a, if you, like you said, like if you, a having a trans person on your athletic team is not going to stop you from like getting a little scholarship for your Division II school to play soccer. If you are good enough to get more than that, it is not going to get you. Like, having trans women on the basketball team or trans men on the basketball team was not going to hurt like LeBron James. If you're good enough, you'll be fine.
That's also,
who cares? Why does the government?
That was my first question.
Yeah. What about small government? Stay out of my choices, government.
I felt really like separation of church and state about this, just because I truly do not give a shit about sports. And I do have some negative opinions about some sports. So I had like a separation of church and state reaction to this. I was like, why are we even talking about sports? Yeah. Don't bring sports into my politics.
That's
I
their
hate
biggest
sports.
Argument.
Yeah. Well, they hate when we bring politics into their sports. So like, it's hypocritical.
It's all so hypocritical. It's getting easier and easier every day to point out their hypocrisy.
Yeah, at least that. Well, Dylan Hafer, who we work with, had a really funny tweet about it. Because of the sign that Marjorie Taylor Greene put up, that he was like, I'm pretty sure your hair is not blonde, Marjorie.
Yeah, that was really funny. Oh my gosh,
that is she so good. Exactly.
She is a nightmare. I hate
she,
even...
the sign says believe in the science.
Yeah, so right. Yesterday,
a famously
she first
science listening person.
Yeah, of course. She disrupted a procedural vote on the Equality Act last night. And after that, Democratic Rep. Marie Newman, whose child is trans, she, I'm sure people saw the video, put up a trans pride flag across from Marjorie Taylor Greene's office. Greene responded by putting up her own sign, as you said, that reads, "There are two genders, male and female. Trust the science."
Yeah.
Science, gender is a social contract. It has nothing to do with science.
Famous science abider, Marjorie right. Taylor yeah. Greene.
Also, like, that doesn't take into account intersex people and people with multiple chromosomes. Yeah. So if you're trusting the science, that means there are more than two genders.
Also, like, if you want to trust the Bible, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they write about, like, intersex people in the Bible as well.
Yes.
So
it's yeah. so it's like there's no way there. You can't logic this crazy person.
Yeah. Gender fluidity has been part of society's. For a very, very long time. It's millennia. Like only in recent history that we've decided to have a problem with it.
Gender reveals ruined everything.
Oh my God. Stop putting pyrotechnics in your gender reveals, people.
I feel like I say this all the time, but I just don't understand. Like, what makes people want to explode something when it comes to talking about their child's gender? Like, where is the correlation?
I have a friend, I know someone who's pregnant, who's having a baby soon, and they've decided we're not going to know, not doing anything.
A lot of people do that. I mean,
like, a lot of people do that, but I think it's like, I don't know. I it's hard to tell what people should do whatever they want, obviously, but it's also nice to think like it doesn't have a gender until it's born. Like, it's not even like a thing.
It's not in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a baby.
I like seeing all the ways that like people will describe their newborn, and like sometimes it's just really nice. It's like our baby was born, and they will decide to share. But sometimes it's like our baby who was born with a penis yesterday. like that's a lot. Okay,
a biologically male.
Yeah, it's like baby. The first thing I learned about your child was all about its penis.
You could really just get out of that by saying the name of the child.
That's true.
Unless it's like Alex, and then you're like,
And you're like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, and also the stuff, I think that TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, should feel some type of way about having something in common with Marjorie Taylor Greene and ask themselves how they feel about that.
Hold up a picture of Marjorie Taylor Greene to J.K. Rowling, like, look in the mirror, exactly. J.K.
Like that meme.
Right. So we will hopefully see that pass tomorrow. And there are so many things on the agenda that we will talk more about next week. I know people have lots of questions about COVID relief and when all of that is going on. Sammy, who's on afternoon tea tomorrow?
Molly Jongfast.
Yay.
Is tomorrow. Ooh. I'm excited. We talked about the political situation.
Of course.
Are Republicans, is there any hope? Short answer, no. and will Trump ever be held accountable? And also, she was in a vaccine trial. So,
oh, that's right. Did you talk about that? Oh, cool. I'm excited.
We did. Find out tomorrow if she got the vaccine or the placebo.
Oh, does she? You can find out afterwards.
Yeah, and then they give you, if you're the placebo, they give you the real vaccine.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
As a favor, as a treat.
As a treat.
That's now, like, why didn't I do a vaccine trial?
I know.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have done it. I didn't know.
I was nervous at that point because, like, there was a different administration and they were potentially giving money and, like, who knows?
Right. Well, because that was the time when it was like, oh, so people that got millions are Jared Kushner's friends. Okay. So maybe that's not great.
Right. But now that Fauci's taking the vaccine, I am.
That's how I feel. Fauci's taking the vaccine. Then.
Yeah. Like, I trust him.
I trust him. Yeah. I trust that he wouldn't do something that would hurt himself.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. The man still goes running at age 80. So.
Right. Exactly. I would call him pretty health conscious.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Our podcast director is Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.